Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter Breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. And, you know, Josh, that's really all I remember. I find myself sitting here, because I know we do this, after the episode airs, but I'm not sure what we're supposed to do next. I just don't remember.
That's okay. Hey, you remembered my name, at least the name you used to call me before that new nickname you gave me last week, so that's good. But that's okay.
I gave you a nickname last week?
No, absolutely not. No. So don't you worry about that. We're all good. But you know, I'm sure we'll find your the rest of your memories around here somewhere. They've got to be lying around or something. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe I'll hit myself with my truncheon and I can remember.
I think so. Yeah.
That's a weird word.
It sounds like a kitchen utensil. You know, I'm making some mashed potatoes. Bring me that truncheon.
I mean, I've heard the word before. It's just I've never had need to use it, I guess.
So, well,
why don't you tell everybody what we're investigating this week?
Yeah, we need to find that out to understand why we're talking about a truncheon. But we're talking about episode 12 of season 2, Who You Really Are, and it aired on March 10th, 2015. This episode was written by Drew Z. Greenberg and directed by Roxanne Dawson. So, as you know, hell hath no fury like a lady Sith scorned, beaten, thrown into the ocean, and, you know, left with no memory. So, she's furious at the rogue Kree alien that's known as Vintak. Also, I think that's Kree for a hoodie-wearing alien. I think that's what that stands for, but... He robbed her of her memories while he was out looking for some lost Terrigen crystals, but she's not going to rest until she finds him. Luckily, she has Son of Coal on her side, and S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, will help her track down and catch this mysterious stranger, even though, you know, Sky's powers are getting a little bit out of her control. And, you know, when she starts to shake, rattle, and roll around her teammates, the Quake's out of the bag. Now, some of her friends aren't taking the news very well. They see her as a serious threat, and they definitely want to do something about her. But the Kree...
Abomination!
That's right. Wait, no, he's a whole completely different villain, I think.
Yeah, that is true.
Still in this universe, though, so that's okay. The Kree alien, what's his name? Vintak, right? He wants to just destroy her. And Simmons, he she might be right there with him. Bobby and Mac, they might agree that there's danger, but they're pretty focused on their secret mission, whatever that is. So, you know what? Maybe Hunter can find out a little bit more about. No, he's down. So,
man down.
He's not hunting anybody today.
No, he's taking a little sleepy by. He just nodded off for a few moments. Well, one of the cool things about this episode is that they have a new art print available for it. They did this for, I believe it was the last 6 episodes at the end of last season. And for season 2, they've decided to do what they're calling the Art of Evolution prints. Last year, they were the Art of Level 7. And now it's the Art of Evolution, and they are doing this for the last 12 episodes. Again, these prints are $50 each, limited to 100 per print, and they get released the Friday after each episode. So basically, as soon as our show is live, you should be able to go out and buy them. And the one this week is by Marcos Martin. It's a beautiful poster of Lady Sif, just a giant drawing of her kind of busting through a blue background.
You know, it reminds me of it's a very dramatic comic book cover type print. This one looked very much like a comic book cover.
Yes, this is more of a comic style as opposed to last week's one, which was more painted like a movie poster style.
Right, right.
And then next week's, the one for next week's episode is really creepy looking. It's got kind of a Charles Adams, Edgar Allan Poe vibe to it. It's got a...
Ooh, I like that.
Did you get a chance to look at it yet?
I did, yeah, and I like that description. That's very accurate.
It's got Cal's head, the doctor, aka Sky's dad, and there's two black wings kind of coming out from behind his head, but he's also in front of the Shield logo, and the wings kind of go over the bird wings of the Shield logo, and then down below on a football field are the four supervillains he's teaming up with. And Coulson kind of caught in their midst.
It's really
cool looking.
I really love Coulson's pose. And I find it a little bit curious that the bird is in front of the Shield logo. So I don't know if that means anything or not, but I found that a little curious. It stood out to me.
Okay, why do you think it's curious?
Well, I don't know. I just didn't know if it had some hidden meaning. Or if it had a meaning that everybody else got that I didn't.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's, you know, it probably will have something to do with next week's episode in some fashion.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Maybe Cal's sitting there and he's got a raven on his shoulder while he's cheering on his team trying to kill Coulson or something.
Well, but let me just put this out for you because my head is going in all different directions about where they're going with that. But I'm wondering, does the bird represent some other group, some other faction, you know, because we got this whole mystery with Bobby and Mac. We don't know what's going on with them and who they're working with. And they don't really seem to play much into this print, but it was just something that didn't seem to go with the rest of the scene or what I had seen on the little teaser. And it's in front of the Shield logo. So I don't know. I could be completely off track here, but it was just something that stood out to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Make a note. We'll have to discuss that next week. If it doesn't actually fit in, we might be able to figure out why it's there after watching the episode. So
absolutely. I hope
I'm tune in next week.
Either I'll look like an idiot or I might look like I knew something.
No, that's good. Okay. So, well, let's get into the talking about the episode, Who You Really Are. And, so one of the first things I wanted just to talk about, because we spent a lot of time last week talking about the Inhumans and what happened to Sky and what happened to Reyna and everything like that. And we also mentioned that there was an image of a blue head that showed up in that behind-the-scenes video, Double Agent, I believe, is the behind-the-scenes video series that they're running on abc.go.com, look, we saw a blue head the other week, and now he's here he is showing up. That was Vintac. And we got a little bit more information. Well, we actually got quite a bit of information about why there were these powers that were given to Sky and Reyna, what the crystals had to do with it. Kind of not really about the city in specific, but more in general, and the fact that there are a whole bunch more Terrigen crystals floating around out there. When they pulled the box up in Chavez, Portugal, which is the Spanish word for keys, thought they were going to go to the Florida Keys or something like that. I thought that was what they were going to do at one point here.
Yeah, I did too.
But they open up the box and we see six empty slots where there were places for six obelisks or six diviners, as they call them. Now that was a pretty big box. I'm wondering if there were multiple levels. So there potentially could be more than six. I guess there can be as many as they need, you know, to be on the show. But what do you think happened to them? They made some speculation about them having gone missing in the 40s at the same time that Whitehall had his obelisk. But I would think if he had found this crate, he would have taken them all rather than just having one.
Agreed.
So I feel like somebody had removed them or moved them, and he found one of them or took it from somebody. I don't know that it was ever confirmed. Like maybe he took it from Jai Ying. I don't know if she had one that we heard about or anything like that. But what do you think might have happened to the other ones?
No, wait, do you think he had it before he took Jai Ying or after? Or are you just guessing?
I'm just guessing, because did he not run into Jai Ying at one point in Nazi Germany, and then he found her again when he was older?
Yes.
Right?
So yes.
So at that point when he kind of rousted her group as a Nazi in Germany,
mm-hmm.
he might have gotten access to it or something at that point. I don't know.
Okay. I just wondering.
Maybe there's a big blue guy, you know, wandering around, because of course they had a blue body that Agent Carter pulled out of the whatever the building was at that point.
Oh, that's right. And that body, well, I guess we don't know that for sure. I was going to say that body may have shown up last season. Was that last season? Yeah, last season when Coulson was down in the guest house.
Yep.
Okay, so you asked me about the Terrigen crystals and what I thought as far as the other six. Now, let me ask you this, because I'm not looking at it, so I can't remember, but I think this is how it went. In the box that he pulled out, there were six slots, right?
Right.
And six missing crystals, he said. So,
well, nobody said a number. They just said that the crystals were all missing.
Oh, okay.
And we visually saw six spaces.
Six spaces. Okay, right. So that's why I'm wondering is if did the one that killed Trip, that gave Sky her powers, did that come from that box, or did it come from somewhere else? I'm sort of the mind that it came from somewhere else, because first of all, the box was still there to begin with, you know, and why would it still be there if Whitehall had taken it? But you know, the crystals, whatever, and he couldn't touch the crystals at the time. They didn't know how to deal with them. They didn't want to touch them at all, right? So why would they take them out of that box? Why wouldn't they just take the box? So I'm thinking that the original one that we saw with Sky, that did not come from this box. So I'm thinking there are six, at least, crystals floating around out there.
Okay. So we know one of them, Lincoln. Right. Who's the guy with no eyes that we saw last week?
Donnie. No, not Donnie. what is his name? I can't think of it.
The Nightcrawler guy, he's got one because it was glowing in his in the box in the room when he got the phone call at the end of the mid-season finale.
Oh, right, okay. I forgot about that one. So I wonder if that one was from. Now wait a minute. Okay, so that could be. So they could have all of them there. Whoever he's with.
Right, so that group of Inhumans could potentially have all of that.
Ooh, see, now that seems more likely to me.
Well, so they might have a bunch of these crystals. We don't know how many uses a crystal is worth, right? Because obviously the one that Sky and Reyna had used on them trip shattered it.
Uh-huh.
So we've got and the other thing they don't really point out, Vintac does not explain in this episode, is that could these crystals – so we know that certain people can hold the diviner and it doesn't fry them, right?
Right, right.
But other people, if they touch it, it turns them to ash. Now, does that mean that – like, for example, if Trip hadn't had a crystal the crystal explode and then touch him, would the Terrigen Mist have done anything to him? Because Vintac kind of made it sound like, you know, this vicious faction of Kree that were experimenting on humans. It's kind of like a general experimentation, it sounded like. From the comics, it's a specific experimentation on a small subset of humans. So only certain people have the necessary encoding within them that the Terrigen Mist unlocks. So I don't know. It's potentially there's the, you know, anybody could get this Terrigenesis happening to them, it seems like.
Ooh, so now are you saying that maybe Trip did and we just don't know what happened to him yet?
No, I mean, I think he's gone.
Okay.
Because the crystal, when the crystal exploded and it you know, went into his stomach or whatever and
sure.
caused him to turn into the ash. But imagine that he didn't do that and he was just standing there and then the mist goes out and it forms a cocoon around him. Well, actually, would it have formed a cocoon around him? Would it have transformed him or would it have just killed him? I don't know that we know, but it was just something I was kind of thinking about. It seems a little open-ended at this point. I mean, Vintac gave us a lot of information about who these people are and why they were created, and obviously trying to put some, put the fear of these individuals are very dangerous now, which, you know, I mean, they're about as dangerous as anybody, right? It's not like they completely lose. Well, I mean, based on what we've seen with Sky and Reyna, they don't lose who they are in terms of their identity, right? They don't turn into a monster in the same way that the Hulk or the Abomination does.
No, but they have potentially dangerous powers that they may not know how to control. You know, it's like giving a baby a gun, you know? I mean, that's maybe a right. cruel analogy, but still.
Right, right. So we've got these six obelisks floating around outside now, but they can't be activated, right? Because Coulson says they flooded the city. We never really saw that, but that was what they were talking about last week. So we're assuming that they actually did that. That sounds right, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. But then they said... no, they said that they can't be activated. That's what they said. But is this the only place they can be activated? You know, why can't they be activated underwater? I don't know. That part seemed a little fishy to me. No pun intended.
Well, so there was a specific temple in the city that, you know, kind of sealed off. So when the mist escaped, and this would make sense from a design standpoint for their city. Imagine it is a city that you've got a number of these people living in. Well, they don't want to just activate Terrigenesis on everybody at once, right? You do it to certain people at certain times, which is what we saw last week with the boy, you know, that they activated it on him, you know, at some point, like early teens or something like that. So it seals off, so, you know, it keeps the mist in that space, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were a bunch of vertical tubes, which are, you know, like vents, I guess. That's the way that I was kind of thinking about them, even though it's underground or underwater or whatever it is now. But yeah, there could be other places. I mean, I don't think they could just do it any place. They might be able to, but there probably would be risks associated with that. But since the obelisk has to open to reveal the crystals, maybe it has to be in a specific location. But who's to say there aren't other cities or other temples in other locations around the world?
Exactly, right.
Not on the world.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
So, and then one other question I had about this is that Vintak calls the obelisk a diviner. That's just his name for it. Now, Cal also called it a diviner. I don't know if you remember or if they said, but how does Cal know what this thing's actually called?
Well, I don't know how he would know, other than my only kind of idea from that would be, you know, his wife. Because she clearly knew a lot about them. Now, how she would know what it was called or how he would know, you know, I have no idea. But, you know, he was still with her or married to her or something, I guess, up till the time she died. And we know that she was alive in the 80s. That's when Skye was born, and that's when she was, I guess, helping people cope with their new powers, helping Inhumans cope with their new powers, right? So, and she had been studying them for a very long time. So maybe she knew more information about them than we know about yet. Maybe it had something to do with a thing kind of like Coulson did, you know, where he saw alien writing and kind of, you know, it was a map or something. Maybe she had a similar experience with more information or directions or history or, you know, anything. So she was clearly very knowledgeable about it.
Yeah, well, that's true, because she had been alive a long time. And there were, I mean, so even though she didn't look it, she was an elder, like a tribal or village elder, I guess, for this group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 2 weeks in a row here, we're really dealing a lot with this, you know, kind of alien threat with the Inhumans here. Is this sort of where you think the season's headed off to? I mean, we've still got 10 episodes left now, and you know, it sounds like a lot of ground to cover. So is it kind of going to be S.H.I.E.L.D. versus the Inhumans? We talked about a lot of the other factions last week as well that are still in play. What are your thoughts after this episode?
Well, a couple things, and some of this is based on things that I have seen, you know, during and after this episode, and including the teaser for next week, although not exclusively, just kind of my speculation of where they could go with this. I think the rest of the season is going to be dealing with finding out about Inhumans, getting more information, maybe discovering new ones, a la maybe like a Heroes series. Remember from the NBC Heroes series.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be necessarily like a war against them or, you know, a lot of battles. I think it'd be more just incorporating Inhumans and powers into the show with one, you know, I don't know, MacGuffin or main threat that can lead up to the season finale. And then, of course, I also because – and I, this is – I don't know. I guess this is kind of a clue connecting it, but just the whole name of those prints that you can get through the Entertainment Weekly is sponsoring it or something. You know, those prints we were talking about. The art.
Yeah, through the Art of Evolution. Yeah.
Art of Evolution, right there. Evolution. So it seems to me like the whole kind of theme of the rest of the season is going to be kind of centered around evolution of these new people and powers and, you know, in humans. So that's kind of where I think they're going, and that's why.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I hadn't even kind of brought back together the why they named the prince that, other than, you know, that's what we've seen so far in these first two episodes. But if that's what they're talking about, kind of this evolution of not only our characters, Reyna and Skye, but also of, you know, humanity or the Inhumans or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the evolution of S.H.I.E.L.D. even, you know, I mean, because that's the whole point of this. We know that, you know, there are groups out there fighting against S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. So That's definitely something that could be happening. Okay, so another aspect of this episode is people finding out who they really are. There's a sort of a mystery aspect that Hunter seemed to really enjoy playing. What did Matt call him? Magnum PI out there on the pier. So I kind of want to look at some of the different characters here. So the first one that really pops into my head is Lady Sif, because that's where we start the story with her wandering out of the water in these obnoxiously high. I don't know if they're called, would be considered heels, but whatever her boots were, they had quite a heel on them.
I think they're high heeled boots. At least that's what my family folk calls them.
Okay, yeah, so that may be, and she's having to walk on the sand and stuff with it. But anyway,
go-go boots, maybe.
Yeah. I know not of this go-go boot you speak of. But she's lost her memory, and we don't know why, and so, that's part of the mystery of this episode, and I think at least there's some funny elements here, in the episode. But, she knows certain things like, it doesn't wipe your brain out. Like, Hunter says, you don't want to erase my hard drive. It doesn't really do that. The truncheon just sort of, I can't even really, I guess, typify what it does. It leaves people with basic memories of stuff that they learned as a kid, but it kind of, maybe it's like your short-term memory or even a little bit longer than that. But she remembers certain things. She knows about the Kree and all this other stuff, like she said, that she learned as a child. And when they mentioned Thor, there's something in her that knows what that means and makes her smile, even though she intellectually doesn't know what that word is.
Right.
Which was kind of interesting.
Hmm. That sounds like love to me, man.
Yeah, her passion is heating up there. So she's busy through this episode trying to figure out who she is. I thought it was also very convenient that Coulson had video, or at least still images, of the last meeting that they had, on the bus back in season one, that he could show her to prove that, they were friends. It was very handy that they had a couple cameras filming the whole episode, I guess.
Maybe when you work for S.H.I.E.L.D., it's kind of like filming a movie, where the documentarians follow you around and document, with photos, just in case, you need to release a behind-the-scenes book, 25 years later or something like that.
That would be pretty cool.
It would have been funnier if they were doing like selfies together or something, or making faces. Somebody's standing behind Lady Sif giving her bunny ears or something. That's
just as an aside, that does sound really funny because I saw on a spoiler post on a website today a selfie with a couple actors from Game of Thrones filming season 5. So they're all in their armor and, period clothing. And then, they're doing this. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't Game of Thrones. It was Once Upon a Time.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the evil witches. It was, I think it was the lady that plays Maleficent. So she's got the head thing on, but, they're smiling and doing a little selfie. So pretty funny. Okay. But the other thing that I wanted to mention about Sif, and I think this is something we also had discussed last season on the Yes Men episode when she appeared. In this one, she remembers that it was Odin that sent her to Earth. Heimdall saw the Kree land, and then Odin charged her with retrieving the Kree. Well, again, spoilers here. But if you haven't seen Thor: The Dark World, you just either stop this or go watch it, and I'm going to spoil that right now. But we know that Loki has done something to Odin and has taken over Odin's form. So he's the one that is telling Sif to go get this Kree. What, any ideas why, you know, in all of the possibilities of things going on there, why might Loki want this Kree?
I don't know. Wondering, you know, I thought the same thing. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought Odin wasn't there. That was Loki. I don't know. I'm not sure why he would want the Kree, or did he want the crystals? I don't know how he would know he was going after the crystals, but
right.
That was the other thought, because I don't know why he would want the Kree on Earth. Why would he care?
I was thinking it might have something to do with Vintak's truncheon. You know, Loki is the god of mischief, and having a little device that would allow you to, you know, make your enemies forget would be useful to him. Though, as we find out in the episode, it appears only Vintak can use that particular device.
Yeah, he knows the secret combination to the knob on the handle.
It's like the new iPhone. It's got like a thumbprint reader or something on it, probably.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Because the only way Bobby was able to use it against him was to make sure he was holding it and then zap him. So, again, it's like they were saying, they couldn't figure out, you know, how it worked. It's just technology way, way, way beyond anything that we can understand.
So. Mm-hmm. Right.
But Sif does finally regain her memories, and
he gives them back to her, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he kind of
he gave
Vintak kind of attacks her and then goes, no, I'm good. Just taking care of her memory. Relax.
That was a brilliant scene. Just, you know, they're all like arguing with him, and he's like, he kicks it out of Coulson's hand, zaps her, drops it. I mean, it was a really quick scene, but pretty cool little stunt flip that they did with the whole thing there. So, you know, I mean, these guys, you know, Kree are not necessarily guys to be messed around with, even if they do look like they work in Warehouse 13. Which this actor has. I don't know if you ever watched that series or not.
I did not know, but I know what it is, and yeah. I don't know. Since we're talking about the Kree, can I just one minor complaint?
Sure.
About what is with the hoodie and the casual clothes? I don't know. Why couldn't they make this Kree look a little more alienish?
Well, he was undercover. That's why his skin was pink too. Well, so he had that device that.
I don't know. I guess. You know. I mean, okay.
He's also pretty short too.
Right. I guess the hoodie, the hair threw me off a little bit. The hoodie threw me off a lot. I mean, you can be undercover and still not look like, you know, a hipster or something. I don't know. Whatever.
He was a young Kree. It's what all the young Kree are wearing.
They should put some, you know, headphones hanging out of his ears, you know, maybe his pants kind of drooping down a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, no, okay. minor complaint, nitpicking. So move ahead. Go ahead.
that didn't bother me as much as the kind of the vestigial skin flaps on his forehead that made it look like he was always really angry and his veins were popping out.
I just thought he was like
he also had things on the side of his head. So.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I just thought he was like a Bajoran or something from Star Trek, or I don't know, you know, something.
right. But once she gets her memory back, then she remembers why she came down, and oh my gosh, then she remembers that, you know, oh yeah, I've heard about these, you know, people that have been transformed by Terra Genesis. Very dangerous. I mean, everybody is just losing their minds over these individuals getting transformed. And I mean, I don't know. It's, again, I don't feel that it's that big a deal, because it's just Sky, right? I mean, we see her having trouble controlling her powers, but I mean, I never really felt that there was any immediate danger. I mean, things were just, you know, especially in that last part where she really lost control and May ran her downstairs into Ward's prison cell. Things were shaking a lot, but it wasn't like parts of the wall were falling down or anything like that. So, I mean,
not yet.
A little more.
But she was doing that without even trying and without getting too upset. But I agree. I'm surprised that they got that, upset, I guess, at her. But again, if you think kind of why, I think the whole incident with Trip and with the crystal and with the transformation of Reyna, and I think that all really affected them in a hard way, which again, like we said last week, if they had done on a show the week before and not 2 months before or more, it probably would have meant more to us as well. Right. But I think that whole incident, was just a kind of gave them a sour taste in their mouth with the alien stuff, but it doesn't seem within line of the character of a typical SHIELD agent, or maybe not a typical SHIELD agent, but a SHIELD agent that's one of our heroes.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know. we'll get into talking about Sky here because, there's a lot of interesting things going on with her because she's also trying to figure out who she is, who she really is. And I'm really glad they chose not to draw out Sky holding the secret from everybody and Fitz being the only one that knows, because I feel like Fitz might just crack at some point, you know, because he's still really not all there. So I'm really glad that they resolved that. Though, I will say, I would have preferred them going one more episode with that secret, and I wanted to find out what Mac and Bobby are up to this episode. I don't think we're going to find that out next episode either. I think we're going to have to wait, I don't know, at least two more episodes, if not further. But that's – we're getting really close, but – you know, I don't think they're ready to tell us yet.
Yeah, I did. And again, based on the trailer for next week, the preview from next week, which, you know, I know we don't like to talk about kind of ahead of time, but it just doesn't feel like they're ready to tell us that yet. I'm with you. They could have dragged that out a little bit more on Fitz. That'd build the tension with him and build the pressure that he's under for not sharing it. I actually kind of hope they don't drag the whole idea of everybody against Sky idea on for too long, because really,
yeah,
they are supposed to be the heroes. They are supposed to understand and be able to deal with this. I mean, originally, when the show first started, you know, they were looking for people like this and trying to bring them in and help them or show them. I mean, that's what Deathlok. Happened to Deathlok, remember? And they talked to a couple other people that had these kind of weird abilities.
Yeah. But that's what Coulson was telling Sky, saying that maybe one day, you know, she would be able to figure out a better test for putting people on the index, you know, and now that she is an indexable individual. I always felt that there was – and again, at that time, SHIELD was not – what it appeared to be. So I think there were definitely ulterior motives for the whole indexing protocols that they had set up at the time.
Okay. Yes, I agree with that. And wholeheartedly agree with that, especially because now we know, you know, Hydra was in there, but Coulson and his team was not part of that. Coulson and his team were really trying to do what they believed were right and trying to help understand, help people understand these abilities of people. So yeah, I mean, I agree with you. SHIELD had probably ulterior motives for that, but.
Yeah, that's true. What was also interesting about, what Sky was going through, you know, so she's got this whole, it's basically like puberty, I guess. Right. So she's got this whole new, you know, set of things happening to her body, strange things happening to her body. And,
you're going to start looking at boys in a different way and thinking about boys more often. And it's okay. Sorry.
She gets these little quivers all over her body. And so, she, but May is working with her from the outset in trying to get her to calm down, calm her nerves, breathe, and use her emotions to her benefit. Which I think is interesting because it seems like May is basically the first one that recognizes this in Sky, and maybe even was recognizing it as, you know, at the beginning of the episode with stuff going on. Now, again, obviously we're just days after this entire incident has taken place, not months, like, you know, for us, for viewing the show. So, you know, May is really trying to help Sky out from this, just the whole traumatic experience of being caught in this earthquake, with Trip dying, with Reyna transforming and running away, and everything else that was happening. So maybe that's really what May is working on. But later in the episode, when the shaking starts and May looks directly at Sky and says, you know, is there something you want to say? And that's when Coulson steps forward and it's like, you know, who's doing there? What's doing this? I feel like May has a little bit, I think May knows a little bit more than she was letting on, because she really was mother henning Sky through this entire episode, which was great. I thought that was a really, I thought the interaction between the two characters was really entertaining and useful for both of them, just to get to know them a little bit more.
Yeah, I like that kind of May more than angry, bitter, brooding May all the time, you know. So she's still tough and mean, but she's taken Sky under her wing more. I like that.
And I think that May had, I think May had some really great scenes in here. I mean, you got the whole fight at the beginning. You've got her protecting Sky. You've got her and Coulson returning, you know, having Sif go back, and the little joke that May makes. But then she also points out that, you know, that she usually sees things at face value, but that basically Sky may just be more dangerous than anyone is prepared to handle, which is, you know, really interesting. And again, it shows us that May and Coulson are kind of on that, you know, that other level of, you know, they're kind of the parent figures,
yes,
on the, yes, team. So they're thinking about all that kind of level of stuff for the people on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Although Simmons really isn't wrong.
Simmons is not wrong per se, but, and I wish I could put my finger on one thing that makes me feel weird about this. It's something about the way the actress is playing her, in the way that she's looking. She's, I think it's that she's really not making eye contact with Fitz or Sky.
I noticed that too.
I don't know if that's a conscious decision or if, you know, something else is going on. There were just a couple scenes where she was being really pleasant. She was talking to Fitz about something kind of early to mid part of the episode. But then when she walks away, it's just, she had this, you know, it seemed awkward. Just the way that she played it. I don't
Yeah. Know. No, she has seemed, well, she's so much different than last season, clearly. But yeah, I agree with you. And always, you got to keep in the near back of your mind, you have to remember that she was in with Hydra and close to Whitehall, who was very, very good at brainwashing people. And Simmons does not strike me as someone who would be very difficult to brainwash at all. And I'm not saying that necessarily happened, but there's still that possibility there, and you have to always keep that in mind in everything she does.
I know. I mean, with all the stuff they were doing the first half of the season about, you know, basically who can you trust, I've still got that. I do. I have that sniggling feeling that there's something amiss with her in some fashion. So,
yes.
They've introduced so many different little threads here that it's almost impossible for them to deal with all of them in a season. I feel like, I mean, we haven't seen Ward now for two episodes at least, you know, and I guess he was in the finale, the mid-season finale.
Yeah, that's kind of where he got away.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we need to get back to see with him. We haven't seen Billy or is it Sam?
Oh, yeah.
Koenig.
Interesting.
They're missing, so. But continuing to talk about Sky, Coulson makes a good argument to Vintac and to Sif about why Sky should stay. He says she wants to get better. And if you take her away from the people she loves, she'll only get worse. Well, gosh darn it. Does that sound like anybody else we know?
Like our puppy?
Like our puppy?
I don't know. No. No. Who does that sound like?
Our
who
puppy,
is that like?
Because like I haven't been feeding our. If it's our puppy, I haven't been feeding our puppy.
Well, no wonder. See, if you take it away from people she loves, she's going to get worse.
Yeah.
So, who does that sound like?
Well, I thought it sounded like Fitz,
okay.
Because he had this problem, and Simmons left, or you know, was on assignment, and. You know, we had a number of discussions about, well, would Fitz have been getting better with Simmons there? From Fitz's standpoint, it seems like that might have been the case because he was inventing this fake Simmons versus Simmons' standpoint, which is that she just couldn't bear to be by him because it was bad for her, and she figured that it would just bring up, you know, worse memories. So I thought that was an interesting I don't know, maybe Coulson has kind of learned from that aspect of what happened to Fitz. And so he's, you know, he's trying to incorporate that into his thoughts about Sky. Also, I think his, you know, he really treats Sky like a surrogate daughter. So, I mean, I think there is, I think there are a lot of personal feelings involved in anybody trying to remove Sky from the team as well.
Yeah. Yeah, which is really interesting considering how she came in, but she's clearly gained a trust with him now. But oh yeah, I know, and it, I guess yeah, how appropriate for Fitz to be the one to kind of come to her aid, I guess, not her rescue so much, but her aid in dealing with this.
Yeah.
Even though maybe it wasn't the best way at first, but he's still on her side. He's still standing by her. So it's, I like that he was the one that did it. I'm surprised there aren't more, but I like that he did.
I really did. And I'm terribly disheartened that, you know, he's worked really hard to kind of pull himself back up through this entire season. And he decides to stand with his friend, and pretty much everybody else, except for Coulson, because he wasn't there, shuns him. I mean, Simmons, Mac, Bobby, and Hunter are all like, you know what, don't, you know, you should have told us first off, and, you know, we wouldn't have reacted as bad as you think we would have. But, you know, in the meantime, you've got Max saying, well, yeah, but we need to be protected from Sky, which, of course, you know, she overhears, and it's just, oh, come on, guys. You know, that's pretty horrible.
Yeah, agreed.
I feel bad for Sky, but I think she can take it because she's coming to grips with stuff. But Fitz is the one that my heart kind of really breaks for because now he's kind of ostracized from everybody again.
Yep.
At least that's the way it seems.
Completely. Yeah.
So we're running out of time. And I really do want to get into talking just a little bit about Bobby and Mac, because, I think this is a really intriguing mystery. Hopefully it will be a reveal worth, showing, and it won't be one of these things where, you know, they make the reveal of who they're working for, and it's, you know, I don't know. It's they're working for Agent May or Agent Ward. I mean, sorry, Agent Ward, or something like that. I don't know. So, who do you think they're working for? We have a lot of different factions we've met on the show.
I can't find any one thing that would pinpoint who. Although you did mention something interesting a little bit earlier that I hadn't even considered. You mentioned Ward, and I didn't even put him into the mix. But I don't know if it's him or not. But you know, there's some options. It's not Hydra because they said that. They said that you know, we're not Hydra, right? But now we always have kind of the mysterious Leviathan in the mix, and that's, you know, more an Agent Carter. But that's a possibility. Then if we've talked about, or you've talked about AIM, A-I-M, right? So that's, I guess, I don't know much about AIM. So I can't really speak much to that, but we know that that's kind of there. And then, of course, there's the good doctor or the bad doctor, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
And again, I don't see them really working with him, but there's something going on there.
No.
And then, of course, we have that group or mysterious something the Inhumans. But – I don't know,
right.
But they didn't seem too keen on the Inhuman thing. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that it's any of that. We did have Lucas posted on our Facebook page. He said that after watching this week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., he wondered if Mac and Bobby might be members of an offshoot mercenary team of former S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, which has appeared in the comics. Now, I'm not terribly familiar with them, and he says, and this is the team that might want Fury's toolbox, which, you know, that would make sense. It's not a Hydra, but it's a number of other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that are not happy with where S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure.
is going or something.
Do you remember, though, in Secret War, or is it Wars? Secret Wars? Anyway, do you remember that Fury had more than one team, and you know, one of the teams,
Secret Warriors,
excuse me, yeah, and you know, one of them was led by Dum Dum Dugan, and then he had the team with you know, Quake on it, and those kind of whatever you call them in Marvel, or what are they called, Metahumans? I don't know. So that could be kind of, and I don't know if this is what Lucas is talking about, but kind of that offshoot mercenary team that would be sort of like still S.H.I.E.L.D., but a whole separate team from what Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D. team is.
I wonder if they're working with Maria Hill in some fashion.
Ooh.
They mentioned Hill this episode, which was also kind of interesting. I saw it more as they were saying that they were out of some like Stark. Like, I think it was like Stark copper jackets. I'm assuming that's like a type of bullet potentially, and not actually a jacket made of copper.
Okay.
But with Tony, who knows? And so Coulson said that he needed to check with Hill to get that reordered or something along those lines when Coulson and Mac were doing inventory at the beginning of the episode. So, we know Maria Hill has gone to work for Tony Stark, or at least for Stark's company, from the end of The Winter Soldier. So Coulson and Hill are still in contact about that. So, besides Mac, you know, basically downplaying his power, you know, he doesn't like to fight, and Coulson pointing out that, you know, you're kind of like a beast all the time. I mean, he's huge, but he's like, I just want to work on cars. It's like, I don't really want to be out in the field. That seems really weird. And obviously it comes into play a lot in this episode because he has absolutely no problems taking down Hunter. I mean, he is a skilled, martial artist or, you know, fighter.
MMA.
Yeah, possibly. And, but I do just want to kind of smack him upside the head because as his reasoning about why, Fitz did a bad thing and not tell them about Sky was that, quote, secrets are a dangerous thing. You think? you're wandering around this base, and you have been for months and months now, and you know, obviously you they've got a huge secret.
Maybe that was his passive way of trying to tell somebody that he has a secret and he really wants to let somebody know.
That is interesting. Do you have a secret you want to tell us? Nope. Why would you think that? Nope. No secret here.
Secrets? Absolutely. No. Secret. I don't have secrets. No. Yeah, I know. And poor,
sky's
poor
blue, water's wet. Women have secrets. Quote from one of my favorite films, Last Boy Scout.
Yeah, well, you know, Lance is just too smart and observant for his own good, because he clearly has known something's going on, and when he does finally confront him, Mac, to get it, he kind of pays the price.
Yeah, I was afraid Mac was actually like going to snap his neck, but no, it appears just to have been a sleeper hold.
That's good.
So, yeah, I mean, I've, you know, and it's almost one of those things where. Now, Hunter didn't say that he was completely happy, but he came really close to saying that. He's, you know, he and Bobby were actually, you know, they were clicking. Everything was working good. He was offered a position on the team. He was going to take that because he likes Coulson. And, you know, now everything's going to heck because of, you know, his happiness, right? Because that's what happens to the character. As soon as they say, my gosh, I have never been more happy. You know, that's when they get killed, or, you know, their puppy gets shot, or whatever.
Because you didn't feed it.
We'll have to see. I didn't know it was my responsibility. I apologize. I must have forgotten. Well, we've got a few references that I wanted to mention here. So, as I mentioned earlier, Vintac kind of gave the history of why there are Inhumans on Earth. Which pretty much lines right up with what happened in the Marvel comics. That's pretty cool. We had mentions of Thor. Sky asks Agent May if she wants full Mortal Kombat in their training mode, which I thought was kind of funny because Ming-Na actually starred in a film adaptation of a similar video game, Street Fighter, with Jean-Claude Van Damme back in 1994. She was Chun-Li, so. If you haven't seen that, that's it's funny. It's fun to see her in a live action role. And you can see her with similar, fighting moves and stuff like that.
Chun-Li, fight
Mac. Yeah. Mac mentions to Bobby, after she got a cut on her temple that he goes, there goes your modeling career. And I personally have to say, I really don't think that a little scar above her eye is going to affect her modeling career in any fashion whatsoever.
No, she's good.
And yeah, I'm not sure. I was looking. I don't know, but Adrian Palicki might actually have been a model at one point as well.
Or I think so. I think she was. I kind of thought that's what that line was for.
Yeah, that's. I was looking stuff up, but I was just kind of. I didn't have a lot of time to check that out. I was just looking on Wikipedia, and I didn't see anything that immediately jumped out to me. And then the other thing that a lot of these aren't really comic book references, but just interesting little fun pop culture references. Sky mentions Blue Man Group. She refers to the Kree as Blue Man Group, which are the performance art musicians that paint themselves blue and just do crazy stuff. So, though they are a much darker blue than the Kree. Kree is kind of a nice cerulean blue, maybe. Lighter blue.
Okay. Yeah, Blue Man Group's. Yeah, they're a little bit darker. They had a little bit more of the Terrigen Mist or something. I don't know.
So, well, I was I really had a good time trying to figuring out who you really are with you. Not that, you know, not who you were.
Do you remember everything now? Are you pretty good? Have you been truncheonized?
Yeah, I think I'm doing good, Bob.
All right. Super.
So, well, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I hope you will join us again next week for the next episode.
Oh, I do too. Please come back. And hey, if you enjoyed us this week, I bet you'll enjoy us next week too. So please make sure you leave us feedback on iTunes. Or you can get a hold of us too. Send us an email, shield@randomchatter.com, or our Twitter is @agentspodcast, and our Facebook page you can find at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And you can check out the other podcasts that Josh and I host here at randomchatter.com, which include Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. All these shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. If you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us, because that's the best way for us to grow our audience. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.